gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a
Praise God, praise God. So good to have y'all with us. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. We most definitely will. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And if you have a prayer request or need, just raise your hand just to show that. And let's go ahead and raise that other hand and just praise God for all those answered prayers. And knowing that He hears us now as we call on His mighty name. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise You this morning. Lord, we want to lift You up. We want to honor You, dear Lord. We want to dedicate this time to You. Dear Lord, we know it's Your day, it's Your hour. Lord, we just come to You humbly. Dear Lord, we thank You for answering each and every prayer that You've answered. Dear Lord, we thank You for the healings that You've given us, dear Lord. We thank You for the protection and, dear Lord, for the guidance that You give each and every one of us. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank You, Jesus, dear Lord, for sacrifice, for that precious blood that was shed for us. Lord, we thank You for this resurrection, dear Lord, and we just want to lift and honor You. Dear Lord, we just praise You this morning. Lord, You see the hands that are raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, You know our needs even before we call on You. But, dear Lord, may we know You well enough, dear Lord, that we can just call on Your mighty name. Lord, may we seek You in our daily walk, dear Lord, and we're releasing now, dear Lord, each and every prayer request to You. Lord, we ask You to be with those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us this morning. Lord, we ask You just to touch them now. Lord, we ask You to be with the care providers, dear Lord, and all those that need strength in those families as they go through their walks. Lord, strengthen them too, dear Lord, as we just want to praise you. Dear Lord, we just want to honor you. Lord, for anyone watching this feed, dear Lord, that needs a prayer answered this morning, dear Lord, or at any time, Lord, may we just ask you to touch, to mend, to heal, to protect, to heal, and to guide us, dear Lord. And we're just going to give you all the honor and glory. Lord, we ask you'll receive every song sung, every instrument played, every hand that's raised, dear Lord, that it'll be raised to you to edify you and you alone. Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Good to see y'all this morning. All of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Just so excited for you joining us this morning. Let's all be in much prayer and just be ready to receive the messages that's brought forth this morning. While you're standing, turn to page 306. We haven't done this one in a while. I used to do it all the time when we first started church. The old gospel ship. Praise God. I love this song. This morning. I'll just sit down, take a seat. We're going to get ready for our service. First of all, though, we're going to take up our morning offering. I don't have any announcements up here. Do we have any announcements for this morning? Okay. All right. Praise God. Brother Thomas, if you would, just ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Thank you.
sorry.
Does the Comforter abide with you this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all worship as we sing, say amen. This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. It's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. Greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord.
Is there anybody here who's found Him faithful? Anybody here brought through the fire?
I know where to go. How many knows that you can always go to the rock? What's the name of that rock? Jesus Christ is that rock. My, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How many's happy to be here?
Yes.
Amen. If you're my age, happy. How many's happy to be anywhere?
Amen.
Amen. Certainly glad to be in church this morning to feel the awesome power of an almighty God. So glad that we can put our faith and trust in God, even when things are not going well. Man, we know that we got a helper in Jesus Christ. The soul of man is like a ship that sails on the sea of time.
Let's do G.
I didn't think I could get G, but I'm going to try a little higher. The soul of man is like a ship that sails the sea of time. Storms may come and winds may blow, the reason my ship has never sank, and today it's still afloat. My compass is His precious word. Jesus pilots my boat. I won't sail stormy seas no more. Jesus leads the way. I won't ever drift so far from the shore. I can't hear what He has to say. I belong to a fleet that sails today on a glorious one-way trip. We'll land safely on shore, sail no more. Jesus pilots my ship. Aren't you glad He pilots your ship? I like this next verse. Y'all pray for me if I can hit it. Well, my soul pulled in to safety's port. The stern was torn apart. The bow of the vessel so badly crushed. Since waters flooded my heart, I had sailed so long, life's angry waves, with my cargo of fear and despair. Then I called on His name, He lifted the blame, and He pilots my ship everywhere. I won't sail these stormy seas no more, unless Jesus leads the way. I won't ever drift so far from the shore, I can't hear what He has to say. Till I belong to a fleet that sails today on a glorious one-way trip. We'll land safely on shore, sail no more. If you know it, sing it with me. One of these days, I won't sail these stormy seas no more, lest Jesus leads away. I won't ever drift so far from the shore, I can't hear what He has to say. I belong to a fleet that sails today on a glorious one-way trip. We'll land safely on shore, sail no more, for Jesus pilots my ship. Safely on shore, to sail no more, Jesus pilots my ship. Oh, give Him praise, give Him glory this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I won't go without You. God, it just ain't worth it without You. Praise the holy name. Thank You, Lord. My, 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 what a precious, mighty God that we serve. So thankful for His presence. Thankful for His anointing power. Glory to God. Where would we be if it wasn't for the Lord? Amen. David once phrased that himself. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, there's no telling where we would be today. My, my, my. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of St. Mark. In the 8th chapter of the book of St. Mark, verses 34 and verses 37. I'm thankful that God speaks to us in time of need, in time of direction, sometimes in time of encouragement. And you'll never find Him too busy. You'll never find Him too preoccupied. You'll never find Him not willing to listen to us. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. Jesus' words here. In verse 34 of the 8th chapter of the book of St. Mark. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your blessings, for your anointing, for your amazing love. Father, we humbly ask today, God, that you would lead and guide and direct in this service. Praying, God, that you would just anoint this weak vessel, God, to speak to us this morning. Anoint these lips, God. Lord, that the Holy Spirit might take charge. Speak to us that we need to hear. Rain down that heavenly manna upon this congregation this morning. God, I humbly ask for your help. I humbly ask for your anointing. And Father, we pray, God, that you'll get all honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you love Jesus, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. My, my, my. How could you not love Jesus? Lord have mercy. That's just recently hearings. They had a list of something. Celebrities who do not believe in God. And I'm not going to give them any notoriety whatsoever, but I'm thinking, my Lord have mercy, all the wealth and all the fame that they have, and it don't even believe in a higher being. Well, their reward is here on earth unless they get their hearts and minds changed. And I hope and pray that they do. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, The Value of a Soul. The Value of a Soul. I was touched and moved by things that I have seen, things that I have witnessed, things that I've heard and read, and it began to dwell on my heart. Has America, has the world lost true value and the value of a soul? When seemingly people are killed randomly because no one even knows them, they're just shooting in a crowd or drive an automobile into a crowded area without regard to life itself, without regard to children. We're hearing about children and citizens being killed and being slaughtered. And I'm wondering, have we lost sight? And I say we, I'm talking about society itself. Have we lost the value of what a soul is? A soul that meant so much to God that he sent his only begotten son to die on a cruel cross of Calvary, that whosoever would and whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Somewhere along the line, we have been more concerned about our flesh and the welfare of our flesh than the destination of our soul. And I know I'm talking to a group of saved folks this morning, but I want to point something out to you that really hit me upside the head as I read this over. It's in the very first of the verse that I read. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples. Not only was he addressing the unbeliever, he was addressing the believers as well. Those who had a relationship with Jesus and walked with him and talked with him and had Jesus ministering to them, had witnessed the healings, the deliverances, even the demonic spirits could not stand before the power of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said, this is for you too, disciples, and this is for the believers. And I believe today that it is also for the church. And are you glad to be a part of the church? And I'm not talking about First Pentecostal. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Are you happy? Are you glad? Are you blessed and thankful that you are part of the born-again body of Christ? Man, that will dwell in that glorious prepared place forever. Jesus is speaking to the people as well as the disciples. Basically, he is telling them or expressing to them that you have a choice. The world and the life that we live is full of choices. We make choices every day. But how many know and realize that we're choices made about where and how we're going to spend eternity? Many times it seems like the norm of the people is more concerned about what they're going to receive or what they're going to lay back for this life as opposed to that next life that is to come. Jesus clearly pointed out you have a choice. He said, whosoever will come after me, regardless of background, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what ethnic society you're from, regardless if you're from this side of town or the other side of town, it doesn't matter. When Jesus died, he died for all. Whosoever will come unto him. But it's up to us, and it's up to us to make that choice. And when we make that choice, we must dedicate our life and commit our life into a service of God. We don't just sign here and just say this is where we're going to spend eternity. But when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life as Savior, we also are giving him the opportunity to be the Lord of our life. Those who will must meet these requirements. And the requirements were not difficult if we understand the grace and the love of Almighty God. Jesus said, those that follow me must deny himself, must take up his cross, and follow me. Come after me, but follow me. If your life is worth more than your soul, he says you'll lose it. Can I state that again? Jesus said it. If your life is worth more than your soul, then you will lose it. And a lot of people have scrutinized the scripture and scrutinized and looked over it and come up with all of these things and saying, Lord, you know that I must provide for myself, and you know that I must provide for my family. And even in your word, you tell us that we have to do that. You're getting it confused if you think that God doesn't want you to provide for yourself and for your family. He encourages that. But he also encourages, never let that rise to the top of your priority list. Never let that become so consumed in your heart and your mind that you hadn't got time for anything else, and you hadn't got time to pray, and you hadn't got time to worship God, and you hadn't got time to come into the house of God to lift him up and thank him for the blessings that he's bestowed upon you. And even if you don't have a whole lot, you still have the breath of life that, by the way, is on loan from God himself. Reminding us that we must deny himself or our flesh in many instances. We must take up our cross and follow him. He also says, if you lose or deny your life for my sake and the gospel's, your soul will be safe. You have a choice. You can provide for the flesh, give in to the flesh, give in to the desires of the world. Let that be so important in your life that you don't have time to provide for your soul. And I will assure you, your soul is hungry for a power of God, whether your flesh realizes it or not. And we as Christians must have our soul, and we must let it have subjection over our flesh, because when it's the other way around, you'll dry up just like the fruit on a vine that's not getting any nourishment. You'll get away from the house of God. You'll get away from prayer in your life. You'll get away from servicing unto God. Believe me, we've been there. I know what it is to get dried up spiritually. Folks, if ever there was a time to get on fire for God, it's the day and hour that you and I are living in now. I don't have to remind you of what's going on. You can clearly see, you're clearly aware of what's happening in the world today. Rather than it driving folks away, we ought to be finding a place of an altar to ask the Lord to help us and to strengthen us every single day of our lives. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what is the profit? What is the profit? Jesus came to preach and give eternal life, but not here on earth. Do I have any believers in the house today that believe this is not our final abode? This is not the end of the story. There's going to be a brighter day. So much brighter that we don't even know. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. It's beyond my ability to comprehend the greatness that heaven's going to be. And even if it's not, doesn't meet my expectations, you got to understand, Jesus will be there. Hallelujah. We will be with him forever, for an eternity. He taught that our soul is the most valuable possession we have. Heard people say, you know what, I just don't have anything down here. Everything I try to do just falls flat. And you know, we've always heard those tragic stories. And then we look and we see some people that seems like everything they do turns to success. And it seems like they just have that golden finger that just everything they touch turns into a profit. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. They're merely enjoying their reward right now. Amen. But those of us who have determined in our heart and our life, God, even if I have to get by in a meager financial situation, even, Lord, if I don't have enough food to get me through the end of the week, I want to know when I lay my head down on my pillow tonight that my soul is well. I want to know that I have given my life to you. I want to know that I've been born again and had your precious blood applied to my life, my sinful life. God, because that's the only way that I'm going to find peace. That's the only way that I'm going to find joy. And wait till you see. Wait till you see. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared, amen, for those who will love and serve him. The greatest and most valuable possession that we have. The very beginning of the Word of God we find in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. You hear me allude to this so many times. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. It's a reason sometimes it kind of hits me the wrong way when somebody says I'm a self-made man or woman, whatever the case may be. If you will attribute all that your success to God, because God gives you the very breath to do and the very talent and the ability. And even though the Word of God says God formed man out of the dust of the earth or the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not flesh, but the soul is living and going to live for an eternity. One of two places, the Bible says. It's not multiple choice. There's a place of glory. There's a place of a heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has prepared. And there's a terrible lake of fire that the Bible speaks as well of. That if we gain our life and appeal to our life and to our flesh and disregard the fact that we must be born again, that we must come to an altar of repentance, that we must have a broken and contrite spirit and ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. There's a terrible place that will in fact be our destination. In Genesis 2 and 7, basically it says that our soul is a gift from God. I mean, he's thankful. I'm thankful for the soul that God has given. How many understands and knows the value of that soul that God has placed in this flesh? It will decide our eternal destination. You know, the flesh could decide, well, I'm just going to heaven. But unless the soul is born again, you're not going to get there on your merits. You're not going to get there on your good works. You're not even going to get there on your church attendance, even if it's perfect attendance. But if your soul has been broken, if your soul realized that, God, I'm nothing without you, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Lord, I don't want to spend an eternity in hellfire. Lord, I don't want to lose the value of this precious soul that is in fact on loan from you. I want to be born again. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that if you come today or if I draw my last breath, Lord, I'm going home with you. Do we realize? Do we understand? Do we appreciate the value of our soul? And I wonder sometimes if we do our own soul, how about when we see a total stranger Do we fully comprehend and appreciate the value of the soul that is in that person? People that society has brushed off. People that churches won't even have anything to do with them anymore because they're so steeped in sin, or because situations in their life have drawn them to a terrible, perverse life. Do you understand that there's value in that soul? The people who are incarcerated today, and I'm not saying to set them free. That's not what I'm saying. We have to reap what we sow. I believe that. I believe the Bible backs that up. But there's not a reason that that soul that is spending eternity or spending a lifetime in jail can't be born again, can't give their life to Jesus Christ. Even if society won't forgive him, God will. Somebody needs to know that today. Society is not where you're going to spend eternity. It doesn't matter if society forgives you or not, but I know a Savior. I said, I know a Savior that when he stretched his arms out and died on the cross of Calvary, he died for whosoever will. I'm a whosoever, folks. That included me. Thank God. Your soul will live forever somewhere. A great number of people today don't realize the value of their own soul. They're too consumed with trying to provide for the flesh. I saw this and I want to share it with you. So bear with me if you would. There is a gold mine in Australia. And I was intrigued because it said in its time of operation, it was the largest gold mine in operation in the world. And it was mined from the year 1882 until 1981. How many has a little gold around the house? Oh, don't raise your hand. We might have people say, oh, well, that's the house I need to go to. But how many knows what a little bit of gold is worth? Just a little bit. You know, they'll mine, they'll spend all this money, and they'll get a little handful, and they're just all excited because of the value that's placed on the mineral of gold. In this particular mine, at some point in time over the years, it said there were 262 tons of gold mined in that particular gold mine that was called Mount Morgan in Queensland, Australia. Now, not only was 262 tons of gold mined, but 37 tons of silver came out of the same mine over a period of time. Not to be outdone, 387,000 tons, like about a ton and 387,000 tons of copper were mined out of the Mount Morgan gold mine in Australia. History tells us that before the discovery of the gold mine, there were people who lived on the barren surface of Mount Morgan. Farmers by trade, simple folks, trying to, you know, eke out a living on a mountain full of stones, void of vegetation, very few trees there. Spent their entire lifetime digging in the soil, trying to make ends meet, just barely living, while the whole time they were walking on a fortune. Just beneath the surface of where they tried to plow and tried to sow, and many of them died of starvation, there was a multitude of minerals that would have made them rich for the rest of their lives, including their generations to follow them. But they wasn't aware of the value that was beneath them. They struggled with meager existence, unaware of the vast riches beneath them. It was under their feet the whole time. If only they had discovered the wealth they already owned. As time went on, generations died. People found that there was gold there. Well, imagine that the worthless piece of property once was now highly profitable. So they came in and they began to dig and they began to mine. And all this abundance of riches that did that prior generation absolutely no good. Brother Eddie, what are you talking about? A mountain in Australia for where there's tons of gold or silver, or unless you could bring some of it to us and share it. The reason that is in my sermon this morning is because it's a type and shadow of what's going on in the world today. Many people trying to make it in this world, trying to provide for themselves, trying to provide for them their family, trying to have a happy and joyous life, walking all over an abundance of wealth that the Lord has already instilled into their bodies. They're unaware of that. They're more concerned with the flesh and what we can do to appease the flesh, what we can do to make more money, what we can do to make ourselves up higher up the society scale, or what can we do, because the lust of the flesh is so great and so enticing that the reason that the world today is making money on top of money, appeasing the flesh, when there's no value to that whatsoever. Because when we are lying on our deathbed, when we come to the ending of life's journey here, and unfortunately I've had the opportunity to sit by people who are drawing their last breath, and they're not concerned about their house. They're not concerned about their automobiles or the money that's in the bank or the bank account or the retirement or anything. And that flesh with the mouth wide open is gasping for the last breath. And when a person comes to the end of their life and they have not made provision for the next life, they have not asked Jesus Christ to come into their life, there is such a horrific and agonizing expression on the face of those who are drawing their last breath. But can I tell you, can I give you a ray of hope this morning? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The flip side of that is when you see a person who's about to leave this walk of life, and again, they're not concerned about riches, they're not concerned about their burial, they're not concerned about their bank account, but Brother Jim, all they're concerned about is, I'm leaving this place, but I'm going to a better place, amen? The very expression on that dying face is totally different from the one who has not made provision. Now, I know that we serve a God who is a God of second chances, who is a forgiving God. And I want to share something with you. Even that person who is drawing their very last breath, if they would repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into their life, if they would be godly sorrowful for the life that they had lived while there still was a chance, while there still was hope, while there still was that precious breath in them, I believe that the God of all grace, the God of forgiveness, amen, would accept that. I believe that they could be born again even on their dying bed. But my question is, why in the world would you want to wait to the end of your life to ask Jesus to come into your life? We have the story of those who worked in the vineyard all day, and one who came in at the 11th hour, and he received just as much as those who had worked all day. So that gives me hope that even in our dying years, the Lord will still save us. But I also bring into question, if you've not been concerned about your soul for all of those years, are you going to be concerned about it when you're drawing your last breath? Are you going to be more concerned about what I'm leaving behind? my wealth, my riches, this, that, and the other. All of those things. Or will there be a little smile on your face and maybe just a little bit of a glow in those failing eyes? And maybe just a remote possibility that the amazing God that we serve has opened up the window of heaven and let you peep in just a little bit. Just a little bit. Hallelujah. Don't lose your soul over something as frivolous as the worldly material things that are in this life. It won't get you to heaven. It won't do you any good up there. Many of you know that my mom is lying in the bed at Ashbrook. And I try to comfort her. And sometimes she won't eat. Sometimes she does eat. But Mother has never asked me about her house. Never even mentioned it. She hadn't asked me about her car. I don't think she's concerned about it. I was teasing her a couple of weeks ago when she was in one of her little laughing moods, and I said, "Mother, wouldn't you like to get up and go somewhere?" She said, "No." And I said, "But Mother, we can go shopping." "Yeah." She closed her eyes. I said, "Well, do you have any money?" She said, "No." She said, "Money's not on her priority list right now." But sometimes when I can't get any response from her, I start singing "Jesus Loves Me" or "This Little Light of Mine." And sometimes she likes to hold my hand. So sometimes I'll reach down, she'll hold my hand, and she'll grip it real, real tight. And I say, "Jesus loves you, Mother." And she'll grin and acknowledge that. When sometimes I can't get any response whatsoever. But there's something amazing, something promising, something rewarding about the name of Jesus. Even at the end of this journey, when nothing else matters, she realizes the value of her soul. And Mother gave her life to Jesus a long, long, long time ago. And she made preparation for the day. And who knows? We may die before she does. But are we as prepared for death as those who have already decided that nothing in this world is going to take the place of Jesus? I don't want anything here to hinder me. So if I was to take a survey this morning, and I know that your answers, I'm pretty sure what they would be. But I would imagine if I was the voice on the street and I would go around and I would ask somebody, "What is your greatest or most valuable possession?" I imagine we'd get a variety of answers. Some would be a loved one, and that's wonderful and to be commended. Some would say my job. Some would say my bank account. Some would say my house. Some would say all of my recreational toys. And by the way, isn't it amazing that we insure our home, we insure our house, we insure those recreational toys, but have we insured our soul? Which, by the way, the fee and the price has already been paid. I know we fuss about high prices of insurance, but this insurance of the soul, or assurance of the soul, has already been paid for. Amen. The policy was written, amen, on a hill in Golgotha. Glory to God. When our Lord and Savior stretched out his arms and he died on the cross of Calvary, and he paid the price in full for those who would accept him and value their soul. I pray that every one of us today who have read this scripture, who have heard this message, I pray that it will prick our hearts and prick our conscience to know what a great value we need to place on our soul. As many things as the Lord has blessed us with, and I'm thankful for every one of them. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not taking any of them with me. But my soul is going to have everything that it's ever going to have need of. Glory to God. What a wonderful place heaven's going to be. My Lord in mercy, there'll be no more sickness there. There'll be no more wheelchairs there. There'll be no more crutches. There'll be no more medicine. Amen. We'll have a brand new glorified body. Make sure. Don't have the mindset, or I'm going to get it right one of these days. Have the mindset, I got to get it right now. I got to get it right now. Because we're not promised tomorrow. In fact, the very breath that we breathe is on loan from God. What is the value of your soul? Simply, it's going to detect which way you go and where you're going to spend eternity. Be led by the Spirit of the Lord. If you haven't made provision, do it now. Do it this day. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? You can stand if you wish. This altar's open. It's for the saved and it's for the unsaved. Man, some folks think they can't go to the altar because they've already been saved. You know what? It wouldn't bother me if I went to the altar every day of my life. Because that's where I just ask the Lord, Lord, if I've done anything, said anything, Lord, displeasing unto you, please forgive me. Make my soul right. Make me right now, Lord. Because that's the greatest thing that I have to honor is your ability to take me to heaven when I die. Is there one today? Is there one that needs prayer? Is there one that needs to rededicate your life to the Lord? This altar is open for you. I love you, church. If I didn't love you, I'd just tell you go do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do, how you wanted to do. But I don't find that in the Bible. I find that we not only need to be saved, but we need to live a life pleasing unto the Lord. So when that day comes, we'll be ready. Sure. Praise God. Yeah. Right. Sure, amen. It's true. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We can leave this life peacefully. It's up to us. It's up to Jesus if we accept him as Lord and Savior. And there is a difference when somebody takes that last breath. If they're born again and know where they're going, it's a whole lot easier. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day. Hope to see you tonight. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Praise God.
Amen. Powerful. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, as we asked, if anyone else has prayer, just know that price has been paid, that sin debt has been paid, and that Jesus Christ is alive right now, and his arms are out for each and every one of us, whatever the need, whatever the situation, but most of all for our souls to be just to turn over to the Lord and let him come in and give us that joy and peace that only he can provide. Anyone need prayer this morning? Anyone have any reason that needs prayer or situation? If come on up, brother. God knows, yes. Is it on time? God knows exactly what we need to hear and when we need to hear it. I just love each and every one of you, those watching online again. If you have a prayer request or a need, just place it in the comments section. Just same way with our praise reports. We just want to just lift the Lord up with each and every situation. All hearts and minds clear. All righty. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Don't forget our service tonight at 6. We'd love to have each and every one of you with us. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Lord, for the living word, dear Lord, that you brought forth to us this morning. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us. And dear Lord, for that power and that peace that only you can provide. Lord, may we seek you and guide and ask for your guidance in everything that we do. Again, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us, protect us, bring us back at our appointed time. But dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Praise God. Amen.
Created in his image.
serve the Lord.